Hey, thanks.
Thanks.
I was a victim. I really played that.
I happened to step outside of the kitchen, and there was this 6-foot snake.
And so then I came to sunny California.
I looked at this address, and I said to myself, this is absolutely ridiculous.
It's a different world.
A picture is worth 1,000 lies.
Oh, God. Too ridiculous. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Welcome to Hitchhiking Off the Map. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller.
With stories about journeys. Today, a dark dream fantasy and a real life search.
So should we just jump right in, or should we do our usual babble about the weather in California?
We could talk about possums.
Oh, God, the midnight possum. Yeah, I was up late working, and out by the cat food bowl outside the window, I heard this... Well, it sounded kind of like an old wino throwing things around in the garbage cans, only small. So I looked out there and I thought, well, what are the cats doing fighting over the food at this hour of the night? And it wasn't the cats. It was this humongous possum, big old possum with a huge face and white face, looked like he was wearing a hockey mask, and just growling. I remember possums from when I was growing up in the country in Indiana. They're about as dumb as a bag of hammers.
Well, actually, Pogo was a possum, a very intelligent possum. We don't often think about possums. They're not terribly poetic. They're not terribly relevant, but they have their own being.
This is one of our old stories. It goes back to about 1978. It's about that trip where you've just come back from the doctor's office and the jury hasn't reached the verdict.
And it's a dream. And then we do have a happier story after that. This is Condemned.
Dr. Davis, telephone, please. Dr. Davis, telephone, please.
Excuse me. My name is Camilla Leonard, and I've been condemned. They told me to see the board. Are you the board? Because they said if I expected to get anything out of you, I must be dreaming. So I must be dreaming. Are you the board?
Maybe.
Because I got this notice, and they're going to tear me down. I don't know. They found some bleeding or something in the connections, maybe the plumbing, or maybe I'm just past 40. So I want to apply for, a variance, where you give me some time to bring myself up to the building code, because there are hazards. I know that. I have these depressions, but nothing serious. My family's not worried. I'm just sailing along. But I do want to correct whatever violations there are, because I'm still structurally sound. And they say the older models are really in the prime of life, if you have enough heat. So I wrote out this formal request. Should I read it out? Are you the board? It goes... Whereas I am a citizen with rights appertaining thereto, it's hard to see it.
Sorry.
And lived numerous years without discredit. Could I sit down?
No chair.
A stool. Could I have a stool? How about the floor?
Not in the cards.
And whereas, maybe a job?
Very risky.
I had one, but it doesn't fit the way it used to.
No, can do.
And whereas, can I visit my mother?
No mother.
Could I have a mother?
Not just now.
And whereas, see, it just feels like a kind of a lump, and everyone's been very understanding. I just think it's me. Please look at me.
Nope. No way. That's a fact. Hold the fort. No can do. No way. No how. No sorry, Bob.
Be it therefore resolved that I want a better deal. Please.
Say please.
I said please.
Please.
Please!
Come to Santa. What do you want for Christmas, little girl?
What can I have?
How about a nosebleed?
You're not the board. You're here for the demolition. I'll get it.
Carmella.
Hi, Sue? Yeah, I just have to talk. I know you're tied up, but Jennifer turned down the TV. Well, I had the tests, but they won't say. It just feels like a lump, you know, when you don't get invited, this kind of a lump.
Carmella.
I don't even smoke. What does it mean, a spot on the lung? It might just be tension. Tense lungs. Oh, the doctor? I told him. I will pray to the Holy Virgin that you be maimed for life in a 3-car crash. I'm signaling. Nobody sees me signaling. I don't want this exit ramp.
Carmella.
What if they fire me? It's not fair. A doctor can't fire a patient. He can put them on hold, but he can't disconnect.
Carmella.
They're all alive, and they're listening to music. They've all got candy they melt in your mouth, and they're going to parties. They passed all their tests. Chris, Jennifer, Trina, Mark, and I'm the one. I'm the one with the lump.
Carmella.
I've never felt so much like grabbing myself by the throat. You tell them out there, I've got a hostage. I've got her by the throat, and these are my demands. 1, I want a better deal. 2, I want safe passage, a Boeing 747 to someplace safe. Excuse me. My name is Carmella, and I'm lost, and I want to go home. I'm home. Hey, I'm home. It's been years. Oh, Mama told me, you go out there, they slam the door. Solitary confinement. Death row on a 30-year mortgage. Oh, it's so nice. Mama? Dad? I'm gonna curl up over by the fireplace. There's the fireplace. Right by the parking garage. I don't remember a parking garage in the living room. They've changed things around. Maybe she's in the kitchen. She used to say, this is like a freeway through here. Now there's a freeway through the kitchen? Hey, who messed up the place? Dad? Oh, there was a neat place you could hide behind the sofa. It's still there. Adult books and novelty items. The big chair. The arms were all worn off. I'll get up in it and snuggle in. Where's the chair? Urban renewal. Franchises. Freeways. Shopping malls. Demolition. This is wrong. Daddy, Mama, I want an exit ramp. I'm gonna scream. I'm really gonna scream. I am now gonna scream. I can't hear. There must be a power failure. Hi. Fine. No, I've got something I can heat up. What time will you be? Love you too. Oh, the doctor called and then I dozed off. Well, they want to do some more tests, 2 weeks. But I don't think it's anything. I haven't really felt much. Kind of a lump. Okay. Love you too. Bye. love you.
That was Condemned, featuring Camilla Shade. Engineer was John Ewell.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
Camilla makes her home in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where we lived for a number of years. I don't think I realized this at the time. When I wrote that piece, it was just a few years after I'd been in the hospital. I'd had a very rare tumor that changed the blood sugar and caused me to go into comas or hallucinations, very bizarre states, as you remember. Well,
are you kidding? I remember.
And I hadn't realized how much of that piece came out of the experiences of wandering through shifting realities for the better part of a year.
Oh, God, the sheer terror of it. And I was outside it watching it happen, and there was nothing I could do. It's interesting that we made the story around a female character.
Yeah. Dante's Divine Comedy begins, "Midway in the journey of our life, I came to myself in a dark wood where the straight way was lost." Yes. So there are unintentional journeys like that one, just let me off this bus, you know. And then there's the hero that ventures forth to slay the dragon. That's very intentional.
Well, there's also a kind of movement where, looking back, you can see you had a very clear intention, but at that time you didn't have any idea what it was.
I found a quote on a wonderful website, www.quotationpage.com, from Edward Dahlberg. When one realizes that life is worthless, he either commits suicide or travels.
Probably we should say you did get cured.
I am
and
cured.
Dante got to paradise, and every time we've gotten totally lost, we must have found our way back.
Or else we redefined where we were as where we are.
It's time to visit Sarah. Actually, Sarah visited us.
When we lived in Philadelphia, we had a woman working in our office. Sarah made her living mainly as a speech therapist, but she'd done a lot of work in theater and I guess liked to stay in touch with it. Short, blonde, pretty, mid-40s. She did phone work for us and she was great on the phone, but she'd arrive always looking very, very tired.
My mother has Alzheimer's and this is the only time that I've been able to do anything for her because she doesn't know me anymore. I mean, I couldn't be the daughter that she needed. She had a son who was the son that she wanted, and I couldn't be the daughter that she wanted. And so now that she doesn't really know what, have a want anymore, or know who anybody is, I can be the daughter that she needs. So I had been going to see her every 3 months and for the past few years and spending quite a bit of money on airfare and all this.
So Sarah was working 3 jobs, flying to see her mother in Florida and wondering about the shape of her life.
And I decided it was time for me to leave Philadelphia. My life didn't look like what I thought it ought to look like, although I wasn't sure what that was. And so in August, I left on a long trip, and here we are in mid-November.
Next to me were 2 young girls, about 21, one of whom had left her family in Toronto for the first time and was having a rough time being away. The other, who had done the same but never looked back. The crying girl also had no idea what she wanted to do with her life, having taken a 1-year degree to be a florist and feeling it wasn't her. In the middle of all this, a very thin guy with a beard and long matted hair, oddly dressed, walks in, says hello to the self-possessed young woman, pulls out a small dirty coffee cup and asks if he can bum part of her cup of coffee. Then he looks at the pizza crust in front of the other girl and bums that. I had nothing to bum. He talks for a few minutes, then wanders off. Name is Ben. I commented, that's an interesting character. The coffee bummy who lives...
Sending an email journal to friends along the way, she started in upstate New York, to Montreal.
I went up to Montreal, and that's all that I knew I was going to do. I wanted to go to Montreal. And when I was in Montreal, then I met people who said, oh, you need to go to Quebec City. And then I came back through Toronto to visit friends, and and then went camping in Michigan and wound up in the North Shore of Chicago. And then from there I went up through, up to Madison, Wisconsin, and I spent quite a bit of time in Deadwood, South Dakota, and went up through Wyoming and Montana to Glacier National Park, and then to Eastern Washington. There are several vantage points that look out in all directions, including the distant ocean, sound, towns, woods, and the Olympic Peninsula. As I started down, I realized that my short legs were more of a liability going down than going up. The next foothold down was always below where my legs would reach, meaning that I spent a lot of time on my ass sliding down to the next foothold. Not the most dignified of positions, but then I don't imagine I look very dignified getting up the mountain either a few times in. And then up to Vancouver, and then down through the Olympic Peninsula to the Oregon coast and through Grants Pass, and then down through the Redwood Country in Northern California. And arrived about 1:30. You know, it's really extraordinary when you meet someone for 30 or 45 minutes, hit it off, get invited to their house, and arrive to find that you in fact really have a lot in common with this person, and you really enjoy the time you spend with them. We talked over tea while she made and canned salsa verde. I learned about the newest Lego technoids from her younger son, while sun streamed in the window and the rains descended. I have a strange dream, which is one of my recurring dreams, about accidentally finding some candy that I have hidden away, and wondering how I can forget that I have had something that good and forgotten that I've hidden it away. And it's funny because I don't think I've found like a home that's my home away from the people that I feel close to. I think that that's kind of what this trip has been about, is, well, what's a place that when I'm there by myself, that's home? And then I kind of go to myself, well, maybe that's never home. You know, maybe it's finding where you are whole. And it might not be a place, it may be you in a place, and I mean me and where I've arrived to, wherever that turns out to be after this whole journey. I don't have children, and I never wanted children. I think I was always afraid that because I came from such a strange family that I wouldn't know how to be a parent. And also, unfortunately, I chose people that I knew I didn't want to have as fathers. So I never really pictured myself being a mother. I had an aunt, kind of an aunt. She was actually a friend of the family when I was young, and her name was Dottie. And she traveled all over the world, and she lived in this huge old apartment in the Bronx. She had curly red hair, and she wore cinch belts with organdy pleat skirts, just very different. And I always kind of, there was part of me that always wanted to be her. She wasn't married. She didn't have children. She had nephews and nieces and kids like me who, and I think that in a way, that's kind of who I turned out to be. Burst onto the ocean, where the turbulent, silvery, gray-white Pacific was crashing against the deserted, desolate beaches. I pulled over several times just to let the energy of nature almost wash over me. The clouds seemed to be challenging me to dare to go further, outrun or circumvent the weather. The sun was almost blinding at times, and yet it was shining on wet roads that had only recently been pelted with tumultuous rain. Spray kicked up from the roads as I crossed the river into Oregon. I found the seaside hostel about 20 miles south of the river, with a welcoming manager, a comfortable kitchen, an internet kiosk, and a British teacher on a year-long walkabout. I've always traveled alone. The times I've traveled with other people have been very strained for me. The reason I travel alone is because I can reinvent myself all the time. I can just get someplace and say, well, nobody knows anything about me, and what will this place let me let people know about me. And I think maybe sometimes my instincts are pretty good about what I can give to people about myself and what I can't. And I think that maybe that's why I've been safe, and that really I've only had a few bad things happen to me. And most of them were when I was, the first trip I ever took in Europe when I was 18, and I just didn't, there were no boundaries for me then. And I think that a lot of growing up is to recognize where the boundaries are.
If all this wasn't enough, along came Cy, who apparently specialized in glomming onto whatever unglommed on woman he could find, imparting the sad tale of his girlfriend in Nebraska who was giving up on her life. He went to great lengths to explain his spiritual quest, which somehow dovetailed with his relationships with his girlfriend and his mother. The effort to understand this whole philosophical spiritual web made me extremely tired. I went for a nap in my room off the kitchen, returning after an hour to find Cy departed and the Minneapolis couple in earnest discussion about which of the crazy people there was actually the craziest. I commented that they all seemed to have fallen through the cracks in some system.
I asked Sarah, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for what makes my life work. And I started out, I thought I was just looking for a different city to live in, like a city that maybe was kinder and gentler or something like that. And maybe not even that. I don't even know what I was looking for, but I thought it would be a different city. And I would never have guessed that, you know, I'm kind of picturing now like a village surrounded by great hiking country and near the ocean. And I just feel peaceful when I'm out in the woods or along the coast, or my body feels right when I'm hiking or climbing a mountain. So I'm sort of getting to a point where my body feels right, and then the other piece of it is where the people feel right. I want to find that part of anybody that I meet, whether it's on the phone or whatever, that can be some kind of whatever that is for me, that can be that kind of family for me. You know, now I'm realizing, gosh, you asked me, well, didn't I ever want family? And I'm like, well, no, but obviously I did. And isn't that an interesting realization? So I guess that's where that comes from and why I do it.
Sarah said goodbye, drove to L.A., then east to Florida, visited her mother, back to Philadelphia, began to pack up for the long move west.
The trip over the mountain was really a heart stopper. The drivers here are out of their minds. They change lanes without warning, drive really slowly so you have to pass them, then speed up and tailgate you so you feel as if you are accelerating into these treacherous curves. Swells and white caps assumed epic proportions. Chairs were pitching everywhere. The ladies' room was someplace you did not want to be. People throwing up, others, I think, foolishly. There were some pretty interesting characters hanging around drinking coffee, eating pizza from the nearby pizza parlor. I entertained myself by listening to their conversation about who was in jail and why. I spent my night in my tent, relishing once again a mild night, the sounds of the ocean, and who knew what birds squawking to each other as the sun disappeared.
I just am totally amazed at what I've learned on this trip. I never would have thought, if somebody had told me that this would have been what it's been, I could never have believed it. It's truly been a transforming experience for me, and I think it's not finished. I mean, I just feel that this is a very important part of my lifetime, and I don't know where it's going to end up or how it's going to look or anything, but I'm really very happy to be living through this in my life right now.
Yeah. In Sebastopol, we were talking with Sarah Savitz.
Hitchhiking Off the Map is a production of The Independent Eye. All of our shows are available on CD very inexpensively, and you can listen absolutely free to all the shows on our website at www.independenteye.org. And we have anthologies now, including one with Sarah. Email us info@independenteye.org.
This show is supported by a very tiny grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, and mostly by our listeners, the Hitchhikers Guild. Email us, same address, info@independenteye.org. Membership offers many, many benefits, including a free trip around the sun.
Well, and we should issue the disclaimer that we have no conscious intent to provide you with any useful information. We offer no travel tips, no information on cheap flights to the Caribbean, or how to fix your car, or invest your life savings, or the latest trends in pop culture, or the new movie that's just come out. We cannot speculate on what the president is planning to do, or what he just did, and I'm not sure that you really want to know. Listening to this show will not increase your security or your child's IQ. Our sole intent is the revival of the ancient and joyous art of people watching. Tune in.
I said to this fellow that I stayed with up in Victoria, he was the friend of a friend of mine. He's very different from me. He has to have lots of space. And I experimented for several days trying to live by the rules he lived by, which was that he would see the guy who shared the house with him in the morning and they wouldn't even say hello in the kitchen. And I said to him at one point, you know, this is very hard for somebody like me who has spent her entire life trying to turn everybody into family. And I think that that's really what it's all about.